Mrs. Pyatt, can you hear me? All right. Great. She's my coach. Turn it up. Crank it up, Joe. Tonight, we're going to talk about the phrase, who says? The phrase, who says? This common expression used to question or challenge the validity of authority or of a statement or a claim. When someone responds with, who says, they are essentially asking for the source or evidence behind the statement in order to evaluate its credibility. So I like how Barry gave us all those examples when he was preaching. I love that. So I thought of a couple here that you can might, and I changed the names to protect the innocent, guilty, however you want to say it. Okay, here's the first one. Billy comes running into the house with his dirty shoes on, making a trail of dirt across the floor. Then his sister Lily says, don't wear your shoes in the house. Then Billy responds with, who says I can't wear my shoes in the house? Lily proclaims, Mom says. Is that, can you relate to that? Everybody growing up, you can just relate to that. Just the righteous correctors, the innocent ones they are, and you know. Anyway, here's another one. Okay, the scene is during COVID time. Dave was getting very hungry, so he drove to his favorite grocery store to get something to eat. As he's parking his car, it starts to rain. So he runs to the entrance of the store, only to meet a sign that reads, mask required for entrance. He immediately responds, is, who says? Now, some of us I know can relate to that. Because we struggled during those times. And, you know, sometimes the who says, I don't know, think about our attitude when we say that. Who says? You know, what's our attitude of the moment? Is it, I'm sure it's harder to maintain the correct attitude when we're bumping up against our own pride being corrected, right? Anyway, these two examples have to do with, you know, who says is has to do with the authority. Okay, who is telling me to do this? And of course, the ultimate answer to the question who says is God says, right? Now, so I picked out a couple examples. We can look at some authoritative who says, you know, authority-wise, God says, from the Bible. If you could turn to Exodus chapter 3, and we'll look at here Moses, Exodus chapter 3, starting in verse 1. And we'll look at his situation. This is a very familiar passage to everyone, I'm sure. And when I look at this passage, I'm usually focused on Moses's his self-focus on his inability or lack of confidence in what God can do through him. But tonight I'm gonna focus on the authority that might be looking for. So let's read now, starting Exodus chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the burning bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, Put off thy shoes for from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come to the children of Israel, and say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. So, back up to verse 13, Moses asked the question to God about what is his name? What am I gonna say? So Moses, I think this kind of reminds me of the situation when somebody makes a statement and somebody says, who says? And Moses is kind of predicting here the people's reaction, what might be the reaction, when he tells them about leading them out of Egypt to the promised land. He is thinking that they're going to want an answer about who says. Especially considering where the children of Israel were living right now. Where were they at? They're in Egypt. What was Egypt like at that time? It was full of false gods, and when you look at gods as authoritative, false authorities. So maybe the children of Israel are getting a little confused. You know, I mean, they are living in Egypt, but they're surrounded by all these false gods. We don't know what's going through their hearts at that time. We don't know if they're getting a little confused who the real God is. We don't know. Or maybe they might want to have some proof that Moses is the man of the real God, the real, the true God, that's calling them out of Egypt. Nonetheless, Moses is seeing a potential problem with them accepting his leadership. Well, maybe he's got a bad memory going on. Why don't we turn back to Exodus 2? Maybe he's thinking of this. Exodus 2:13. Years ago, when he was living in Egypt, you know, he had a little bit of a run-in with some of his other people from Israel. And maybe he's thinking about this. Let's read 2:13. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. So Moses could be thinking back about this, and it's like he doesn't want to run into the same issue again when God's telling him to go back to lead the children of Israel back out. Maybe he's afraid of that situation. I mean, I know I would be. If I was rejected as a leader like that, you know, trying to help my brother and get accused of telling him what to do and stuff, that might be hard. So what does God do? God goes back to chapter 13, in verse 14 and 15. God starts off and reminds him about, he tells him in verse 14, chapter 3, God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And, I'm the one, I'm the one that exists. I'm the real one. I am one. There's no other like me. So he's starting there, and then he goes on to the next verse there, verse 15, and he gives him a little history review. Remember, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And if Moses can review in his mind all the things that happened with his forefathers, then he can, relay that to the children of Israel, remind them. Certainly they would have been aware of that history, I hope. And so God's telling them to first tell them who the real one, the real I am is sending you. And that is the God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So he's trying to tie that together for him. Just as a side note, every time I read verse 13, when God says, I am that I am, it so much reminds me of a situation with Jesus. If you could turn to John 18:3. I love this little few portions of scripture here. I just tie these together so much in my mind. I don't know if you think of the same way as I am, but I love this few verses here when I'm thinking back to Exodus. So in John 18:3, Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Do you tie those verses together in your mind? I do. It's like we got God telling Moses in Exodus 3:14, I am that I am. And then you got Jesus in John 18 saying, I am he. And they fall back on the ground. I mean, he didn't push them back. They fell by the power of his word. So I always think of those two together. Anyway, thinking more about Jesus, Jesus obviously ran into some authority questions and authority from men, right? The who says kind of authority. If you could turn to Luke 20. Luke 20. Starting in verse 1. Luke 20, verse 1. And it came to pass that on one of those days, as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, the chief priests and the scribes came upon him with the elders and spake unto him, saying, tell us, by what authority doest thou these things? Or who is he that gave thee this authority? And he answered and said unto them, I will ask you one thing, and answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say, why then believe ye him not? But if we say of men, all the people will stone us, for they be persuaded that John was a prophet. And they answered that they could not tell whence it was from. And Jesus said unto them, neither I tell you by what authority I do these things. So, I love this. I'm buzzing right through this. In conclusion, we see the question, who says, is a legitimate question. Now, I know sometimes we're asking it out of pride when we don't like to be corrected. I love Brother Barry's all examples from Sunday and about pride, while we can really relate to those. And, you know, yes, some of those people could have said, who says, you know, out of pride. And we could probably think of times in our life that we didn't really respond to authority very well. But in the end, we know the Bible said, but the Bible answers the who says question. It is God says. And Brother Tim covered this verse, 2 Timothy 3:16, when he was talking about all the things you anticipate a Christian to do or to be on a daily basis. And 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfectly, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So tonight we've been focused on looking at authority. Who says about the authority? And we can really see that it's God's. God says, and it's interesting if you look up, do a Bible search, and all the time, you know, there's a lot of times the phrase exists. God said this. God said. God said. There's a lot of times that he said that. I'm not going to go through all those tonight, but those are fun to look at. Now, not only is the Bible, you know, we start with the authoritativeness of the Bible, because it's from God, right? It has authority to teach us. We can believe it. We can have faith in it. We can believe that it's from God. We can have confidence in what it says. But beyond the fact that it is authoritative, it goes way beyond that too. It's also informative. We can learn a lot from it. And I'm not going to go through all that tonight, but I instantly think of, you know, what do we learn from the Bible? Well, we learn the age of the earth, right? You know, you can just hear somebody saying, the earth was formed billions of years ago. And your response is going to be, who says? You know, so you've got You can look at the Bible in its information. And the other thing I could think about is instructional. The Bible instructs us. It teaches us what to do, right? How to act, how to think, how to love other people, how to love God, how to repent of our sins, how to turn to Jesus. It's full of instructions. And so that would be another time maybe. That list could go on and on. But tonight we're just thinking about authoritative. You know, we always want to keep authority in the proper perspective, and you know, whether it's to man or to God, they both have a place of authority, and God uses men sometimes authority, and in our land that we live in, the considering the government, you know, I heard another preacher kind of explain what the highest authority is in our land besides God, but under God, and he's proclaiming it's not the president, it's not the congressman, it's not the judges, the Constitution, that written document that sets up a system of guidelines and rules, and this preacher was saying how that's a higher authority than all these other underneath it. So, interesting thought to think on. But ultimately, God is our authority. So, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your great love and patience with us, and we thank you for the opportunity to repent and confess our sins before you. We're so grateful that you are willing to forgive us when we've rebelled against your authority and set up our own selves as the authority, and our desire is to help other people understand that you are God. You are the really the one that exists and always has existed, and you're the one that we have to answer to. And help us, Lord, to keep these things in perspective, and help us to reverence you, Lord. And may we constantly humble ourselves before you. Lord, you are so patient and so kind, so good to us. We just praise your name tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right.